The NFL draft is tomorrow, and the waiting game begins or ends, depending on your perspective, for our next guest joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's currently in the Nashville airport on his way home to sit, wait, and watch and see what happens. N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, one day out of the NFL draft. N'Keal, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us so close to the draft. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I thank you for having me.
Well, first off, we're rooting for you, my friend. It was fun to go to those ASU games and watch your career. You are one of the greatest players that ever played wide receiver for the Sun Devils, so we're rooting for you just to be happy and end up in a great spot.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let me ask you, you had such tremendous success with Todd Graham, 1,142 yards, 8 touchdowns, 82 receptions. What was it like for you when they made the switch from Todd Graham to Herm Edwards?
It was a little bit rough for me at first, just because we had just come off a big win. We had just beat U of A, and, you know, Coach Graham got fired the next day. So it was a little bit rough for me at first. But, you know, I trusted in Ray Anderson and you know, the staff up at ASU. I knew they knew what they were doing. So, you know, I just trusted it. I just tried not to overreact and just go with the flow. So, you know, they made a great hire. I knew as soon as they hired Herm that they had made the right decision. So, you know, like I said, I just trusted in them, and you know, they have the right mindset. They know what type of coach they want. So it was a great move.
Did it take a little while to figure out what your role was? Because we would sit there and say, okay, they want to play defense and they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball a lot, but yet you've got this great wide receiver, one of the best in the country, and we wanted to make sure that you were getting 8, 9, 10 shots every single game. And it took a little while for that to really come to fruition. Were you worried about it a little earlier that they were too much run oriented?
No, not really. That has really never been my concern, regardless if we were or not. All I ever wanted to do was win games, and no matter what I had to do that, I would do that, no matter if it was catching the ball or blocking. So, you know, for me, I just would trust in the game plan, regardless if we threw the ball 5 times and ran it 50 times or the other way around. You know, I just trusted it, and I just did my part to win the game.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, draft prospect, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The draft begins tomorrow. The second round is on Friday. How many times have you met with the Arizona Cardinals, and what feedback have you gotten each time you've met with the Arizona Cardinals, N'Keal?
I've met with them twice. I actually had I went up to the facility on the local day, and I had a private workout. And, you know, the workout went extremely well. You know, I think I surprised a lot of the, you know, higher ups in the organization. So, you know, I'm pretty confident going into draft day. Obviously my main goal is to be a first round pick, to be a first day pick. But if for whatever reason I do end up slipping to the second round, you know, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, you know, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
You know, I can't really say too much, but, you know, just from the workout I had, and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
Okay, so without saying you've been promised that you'll take you that they'll take you at 33, you feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct, and just because of I know what I did during the private workout, I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona, so I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Specifically, what did you do during that workout that they were surprised by, that they did not see coming, or that they commented to you about that you did that they liked?
Really, my quickness. They didn't know how well I can get out of break. And, you know, that's something I've really been working on throughout this whole process. I'm just making sure at the top of my routes. I'm crispy and making sure I show that elite athletic ability. So I think that's one thing they were not expecting at all, how quick I was and, you know, how fast I came on my breaks and how precise I was when I was cutting. So I think that was really the deal breaker.
Well, I'm going to get on the phone with Just Sports and order my N'Keal Harry jersey. Because I know that you're not going to – now that I know you're not going to go past 33. But let's talk about if you do go in the first round. I mean, what teams have shown the most interest? I know the Baltimore Ravens seem to like you a lot. What teams could take you in the first round?
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers at 30. I feel pretty confident about those landing spots. But like I said, if not, I would be more than happy to stay home and be a Cardinal.
Are you the best wide receiver in this draft?
I believe so. I'm just not the type to go around just boasting it and just claiming I'm the best wide receiver. That's just not how I was raised. But I truly do believe I am.
One of the knocks that I've heard in the evaluations is just, can he get off of press coverage? That's they love your hands, and your speed is fine, and your ability to track balls, and your ability to run after the catch. But the one thing that I've heard from evaluators is just press coverage. Can he beat press coverage? Is that something that you see yourself having to work a lot on?
Yeah, definitely. But it's definitely not anything I'm worried about. I think a lot of these things that evaluators are forgetting is that problem that you just stated, it's a problem that can be fixed. And it can be fixed with work. And I'm a workhorse, and you know, I'm going to work my tail off to fix that. You know, it's just more about technique, just switching up my releases, not relying on my body and my athleticism so much. So I feel like once I get into the right system and, you know, really sit there and work on that, it'll take my game to a whole new level.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The draft is tomorrow. The second round is coming up on Friday. You're not just a garden variety ASU wide receiver. You're obviously one of the best they've ever had, but you're also a local kid in Arizona through and through. What would it mean to you to play for the Cardinals, to play with Larry Fitzgerald, even if it's just for a year? We had him in studio a couple days ago, and he was just raving about you, N'Keal. What would that mean for you?
It would mean the world to me. You know, that was one of the things that I love so much about playing at Arizona State. A lot of the people that have seen me grow, have seen me play throughout the years, can still watch me play. They came to a lot of my games, and they supported me. So it would be huge for me, and especially to play with somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, somebody that I've been looking up to since I was a little kid. And, you know, if I had the chance to play with him, I would just try to soak in as much information as I could in the amount of time I had with him. You know, obviously he's been doing something right throughout the years. He's been taking care of his body. He's been doing what he needs to do in the community, and he's just been a great role model for all the kids that grew up in Arizona. So it would be a very special moment, and it would mean the world to me if I were to be able to play with him.
A Cliff Kingsbury run air raid offense. How would N'Keal Harry fit in that offense?
You know, I think I could help them in a lot of ways. You know, whatever they needed me to do. If they needed me to play outside, I would have no problem with that. If they needed me to play inside, go across the middle, be able to catch a ball and take a hit, I would have no problem with that either. And, you know, I also love to play special teams, so that's another place I see myself helping teams in the NFL. I don't know if it would be on punt return because they got Christian Kirk. But any way I can help out, I want to do that. And I just feel like I can help take the offense to a new level. I'm not saying that I'm the reason we would go to a new level, but I feel like I can be a piece of the puzzle that could help them go to a higher level.
All right, just no throwing passes on trick plays like you did with in the game against Stanford, okay?
Yeah, man, that didn't work out too well.
Hey, give me a guess here. I want your guess, just your guess. Cardinals taking Kyler Murray number one?
I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, I can see it.
Okay. Nikhil, we appreciate the time. Safe travels. Enjoy the draft day tomorrow, Friday, whatever day ends up being your day. Enjoy it. And we really look forward to talking to you sometime, perhaps in the very, very near future. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks to Nikhil Harry joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. There is a lot to unpack with that interview. There is a lot to unpack. So we'll get busy unpacking and reacting to that interview next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Well, obviously, we learned something from Nikhil Harry. We'll get to that in a minute. But something else that we learned today, or dropping a little knowledge on you today, 15 years ago today, the Arizona Cardinals drafted Larry Fitzgerald with the third overall pick in the 2004 NFL draft.
And you were a young man then.
I was.
You were a young man when...
That's odd. You were still an old man back then.
Oh! Yeah, but my wife was 15.
Well, I don't really know if that's something you should be bragging about or not. I really don't. 15 years ago today, the Arizona Cardinals drafted Larry Fitzgerald. So, what 15 years from now... What are we going to be saying about...
Could we say 15 years from now the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray?
Or Nikhil Harry?
Or Nikhil Harry?
When it's all said and done, what a conversation that was with Nikhil Harry, in which he basically said, I don't think I'm slipping past the Cardinals' first pick of the second round.
My main goal is to be a first-round pick, to be a first-day pick. But if, for whatever reason, I do end up slipping to the second round... you know, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, you know, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
Follow-up question.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
You know, I can't really say too much. But, you know, just from the workout I had and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
I can't really say too much, Nikhil. You've already said
plenty,
my friend.
The second you said I can't really say too much, it was game over.
You kind of said it, yeah.
Yeah.
One more follow-up.
You feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct. And just because I know what I did during the private workout. I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona. So I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
All right. What do we make of this?
I just think that he feels like he's been told something that makes him feel that they're going to take him at 33. I mean, something must have been said. I mean, they met with him a couple times. All right. They met with him on April 1st and then they met with him again. They had the workout and the workout went great. And all the indication that I got is that the workout went really well. They're very impressed with him. Probably the main concern I asked them about this that they would have for him is just press coverage. How are you going to be able to handle press coverage? Can you know? And that's something he said he's got to work on and continue to work on. But my indication is that he came away from his meetings with them after talking with them, feeling like, and I've said, listen, I came up with my list of five guys for the second round 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and he's on that list of five guys. Three offensive linemen, two wide receivers. He's on my list. So there's no question that for at least a few weeks now, he has been a guy that they've been looking at. Somehow he blew them away enough to where he honestly feels like he's not getting past them. He had to be told something that makes him feel that. He had to.
And he wouldn't be the first guy in the history of the world to think that he's going to a certain team or a certain spot to believe, oh, man, there's no way I'm slipping past this team. There's no way I'm slipping past that spot. And you heard him cite all the reasons why. And there's no doubt in my mind that they did tell him something to make him believe that. But did they guarantee it? Did they promise it? Did they ironclad it?
Sounds like it to him.
It sounds like to him they did, but words like that, And you know this because we deal in words every single day, right? You can phrase things to give yourself an out. I mean, what did he say even at the very end of that soundbite? That he's 95% sure he's going to be a man. So even he's giving himself a little 5% margin of error
Not much.
Not
much of a margin for error.
But if you're the, it's sort of like, okay, this is the best way I can comp it. About 4 years ago, we took the kids to Hawaii, right, for a big vacation. And we told them, look, as long as our taxes come back the way we think they're going to, we're going to do this. We're going to take that money and we're going to spend it on that trip. But we left ourselves the out of, if we don't get the kind of money back on our taxes that we thought, we can't afford the trip, right? So
you gave yourself an out.
Did I promise them that we were going to Hawaii? No. What I said was, if this happens and if that happens, we're going to go. And I think, I'm guessing, that might be what happened here. The Cardinal said, if this thing breaks the way we think it's going to break,
we'll take you.
We're probably going to take you 33, first pick in the second round. But if this thing doesn't break the way they think it's going to break, and this is a very easy scenario to see, you're the Cardinals, you're sitting there at 33. A player that you've got ranked on your board, an offensive lineman, you've got him as the 21st best player in this draft. He's there at 33. Can you really keep your promise to N'Keal Harry? Can you really follow through on that if the 21st highest player on your board is there at 33? Of course you can't.
Unless
you don't paint yourself in that corner if you're the Cardinals.
There's one scenario in which I think this could work out. What if the Cardinals have him rated on their board at 23, 24, 25? And they're like, listen, we have you rated. And they're thinking to themselves, we have him rated really high. Say they have him at 23 on their board. Just say he's 23 on their board. At 33, there's a chance that somebody they have rated 1 through 22 could be there,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the top 22 guys on their board are all gone by pick 33. Maybe one or two are left. Maybe at 33, he's there at 23. There was another guy they got at 25 and another guy they got 29 all still there. And they feel really confident telling them, like, look, we have you high enough on our board that if you're at 33, we're probably going to take you. I agree with you. You got to give yourself an out. Because what if somebody you have rated at 16 falls and falls and falls? You're like, oh, my God, we got to take this guy.
Sure, of course.
So I think there's always got to be an out. Now, my understanding is that there is no, there is no promises from the team to N'Keal Harry that they're going to take him. But, man, that interview, that blew me away. He sounded very, very convinced.
Yeah.
That he's been told he's going to be taken at 33 if he's there.
And that's where I'll agree with you that obviously something was said to him to lead him to believe that. Now, let's call this like it is. He's playing a little bit of a game here too, right? He being N'Keal Harry. Listen to him talk about which first round teams could draft him.
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers at 30. I feel pretty confident about those landing spots. But like I said, if not, I would be more than happy to stay home and be a Cardinal.
Okay. Now, the game that he might be playing here a little bit is a great way to convince those teams that he just rattled off there. They're all picking in the 20s, by the way, in the first round of the draft, that I'm a first-round player. Is by letting them all know I'm not getting past 33.
Right.
I know that. I know I'm not getting past 33.
You better take me. You think you can move up in the second round and get me in the middle of the second round? Not happening.
Right. If you really like me.
Yeah, you think you're going to take your late round, second round pick and add a fourth rounder and move up 10 spots to get me? Not going to happen. I'm gone at 33.
It is a great way to increase your buzz going into the draft. Hey, we're hearing N'Keal Harry's not getting anywhere past 33. Should we take him at 25? Should we take him at 30? Should we take him at 22? Are the Cardinals going to take him? Do they have a deal? All those things. All those things help even slightly increase N'Keal Harry's value and makes him a first-rounder because he did admit to us, I'd love to be a Cardinal. I'd really like to be a first-round pick because that's 5 years, the five-year option, more money, right? All that stuff. So he's playing a little bit of a game here too, but I agree with you. He obviously was told something. Maybe not everything, Maybe he wasn't promised everything, but he was clearly told something that led him to believe.
So if the Cardinals take him at 33 on Friday, are you going to believe that he had a promised deal? It's going to be hard not to believe that.
Yes, I am going
to
believe that.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard not to believe that he was told he was going to be taken by the Cardinals.
And can you imagine if the Cardinals take Kyler Murray number one and N'Keal Harry number 33?
Yeah. I think a lot of people will be very excited.
Just for a second, try to imagine what the hype around here is going to be like if those are the first two players off the board by the Arizona Cardinals.
I wonder now, by throwing out all those teams that are picking 20 to 30, if he's given some indication to the Cardinals, like, you might have to move up to get me. Like, you may not be able to get me at 33.
Maybe.
Like, you really want me? Trade up. Move up three or four spots. You might have to get me there.
Join us along with Wolf and Max Starks tomorrow at the Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe. It's our draft home, the Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza, tomorrow at Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe. Party kicks off at 2 o'clock. We'll take you through the entire first round of the draft. Food and drink specials all day, courtesy of Four Peaks, along with your chance to win Cardinals tickets plus autographed Cardinals gear. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. James Jones faced the media today by himself. Was he by himself when he made the decision to fire Igor Kokoschkov? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Man, I just got the funniest tweet. I got to share it. It'll take 30 seconds.
By all means, go ahead.
45 minutes ago or so, I can't even remember how we were doing it. We were making some jokes about Alexa play Arizona sports, right?
Yes.
If you want to listen to the N'Keal Harry interview when we replayed it at 5 o'clock, I got a tweet from a guy who said, can you please hold off on the Alexa stuff? For those already streaming it, it kind of turns your station off.
You just did that again.
I know. I know I did. So you're going to have to, I'll only say it one time.
Just refer to it as the A word.
The A word.
I don't understand what that means.
So apparently when I said the word A, listen to Arizona sports, it turned off Arizona sports from people who were already listening to it on Alexa.
Oh my God. Seriously?
She's always listening.
Seriously.
But if you're saying turn it on, why would it say...
Well, I think it just registers every time it hears its name.
Right.
It pauses and listens to you.
Hold on. I want to try this. Alexa, play America, Sister Golden Hair.
Right now.
Sister Golden Hair across the valley.
Right now, hundreds of people listening to us on Alexa are listening to Sister Golden Hair going, oh, dang it, Gambo. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Okay, that's actually amazing.
This is hilarious. We got to do this every day.
I just
mess with people.
I had no idea. This guy named GH on Twitter. Can you please hold off on the Alexa stuff? For those already streaming, it kind of turns your station off. Thanks.
He was already so mad at us.
Yeah, oh, he's
going to be real mad.
He's real mad now, that's for sure. I had no idea the things you learn when you host a radio show. Man,
Alexa, say Gambo is my favorite.
God.
Alexa, Venmo Gambo $100.
Stop. People from the legal department have just put out a cease and desist. Stop. No, we do not want you to Venmo us money.
He's high maintenance. He needs the upkeep.
Stop.
Oh, my God. This is too funny. What else can we tell Alexa to do?
It's unprofessional.
It's
not the right thing to do.
It's unprofessional. It is the right. It's not debatable. It's the wrong thing to do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so just a little public service tip from your...
Alexa, play It's the Final Countdown.
God, I never should have said anything. I don't even know.
I have like 15,000 people hitting me right now.
Our Alexa's a little bit slower today.
Our Alexa's name is Jordan, and he doesn't respond well to direction.
Wi-Fi is lagging right now.
Yeah, of course.
My God, this is so funny.
James Jones, earlier today, this decision was mine.
This is my decision. You know, I take a lot of factors into consideration, but ultimately, the job that I agreed to was to make decisions for the franchise, and so the decision with Igor was mine. mine alone. And that's why it was a tough decision, because I truly do have a ton of respect for Igor.
That was at the press conference today. James Jones held alone. No Jeff Bauer, no Robert Sarver, just him answering questions about why Igor was let go and what's next for the Suns with their coaching search. It strikes me as the kind of thing that you have to say if you're James Jones, but I don't know if I'm going to believe it or not.
You're not buying it?
No. No, I don't think a decision of this magnitude is made for when we've been told many, many times over that we would expect ownership to be involved, to sign off on decisions like whether you're going to fire a head coach after a year or not.
Right.
If you're going to pay Igor Kokoshkov 2 years to do nothing.
Yeah, that's got
to
be, you know, an owner's got to okay that.
That does not just come from a general manager.
Understanding is that that James was told from ownership that it's your decision. Whatever you decide, you'll be supported. So if you decide to keep him, you're supported. If you decide to fire him, you're supported. So that it was his decision, and obviously he had to have the support to make the decision. It wasn't like he was going to say, I want to fire this guy, and you know you can't. Or I want to keep this guy, no, you got to fire him. It was whatever decision he decided, whatever he decided to come to, whatever decision he wanted to make, it was going to be his decision, and the ownership was going to follow that decision.
Okay. Fair enough. One way or another, the Phoenix Suns have got to move, and they've got to move quickly on their next head coach. Now, you believe, from what the calls that you've been able to make on this, that Monty Williams not only is the preferred coach of the Suns, that the Suns might be the preferred team for Monty Williams in this coaching search?
I heard this today from a coach, that Monty Williams is very interested in the Suns' job. And that this is why they may have acted so quickly to fire Igor Kokoshkov, because of the feeling that they could get Monty Williams, who was already interviewed for the Laker job, but may have a preference to come here to Phoenix. He was hired by Jeff Bauer in New Orleans. So Jeff Bauer hired Monty Williams in New Orleans. So there's a connection
there. Well,
there's
also a James Jones connection.
This is James Jones played for him.
James Jones played for him.
Played
in Portland.
For him.
He was an assistant with the Portland Trailblazers, and James Jones played
so
for him.
So there's a familiarity there, and this is what I'm hearing, that he may prefer this job over the Lakers job. He may prefer the Suns, very interested in the Suns' job. I imagine he's going to cost you $5-7 million a year. This isn't chump change. You're not getting in for $2.5-3 million. You're going to have to pay money for Monty Williams because he's sought after. But just think about the ability to get over on the damn freaking Lakers. Just think about the ability to get over. The Lakers want to hire Monty Williams. Yeah, no, sorry. Where are you going? I'm going to Phoenix. What?
What?
You going to Phoenix?
Can you imagine the look on LeBron James' face? Wait a minute. You got the chance to coach one of the greatest NBA players of all time, but you'd rather coach the Phoenix Suns? You'll be their seventh coach in 8 years,
right?
And you'd rather coach them than me, than us, than the Lakers?
Right.
I know you believe the Lakers is a worse job than the Phoenix Suns. I know you believe. I have a hard time believing that, because I have a hard time believing that any job
is worse than
can be
job.
Worse than one where you've gone through seven of these guys in 8 years.
I've just heard that LeBron takes all the joy out of playing from everybody he plays with. Right now, at this point in his career, you do not want to coach a team with LeBron James on it. It's not a great situation. And that, yes, I've been told. This is what I've been told too, that this job is better. Like Suns' job is bad. Now, I'm not saying this is any great job or anything. Don't get me wrong here. I just think that right now, and this might prove it, honestly. Like what would be further proof that this is a better job than Monty Williams turning down the Lakers and saying, you know what, I want to be with the Phoenix Suns.
That's the mic drop. And you could have your mic drop moment. I mean, that would be it, because I just have a hard time believing that. But if it comes down to that, if he does now. It takes two to tango, as the old cliche goes. And if you're the Suns, go get them. Okay, go get them. Don't Mike Budenholzer this, and don't David Griffin this. If he's the guy and you want him, and he comes into this job with demands or expectations or salary expectations, give it to him. Give it to him. And don't... Oh, well, no, he came in here with all these demands. He wanted this, he wanted that, or no, we're just not comfortable paying a coach that level. Now, today, James Jones insisted there are no budgetary restraints at all for this new hire?
No, budget constraints or restraints or however you want to call it. We just want to get the best coach for this team, and we want the best staff. You know, this is important for us. Like, this is a very important time in the Suns franchise, and not once have I been limited in what I can do financially, and I don't see that changing.
I'm going to say what I said last year when they were pursuing Budenholzer. You have an opportunity to go hire a coach that others want, that others covet. Go get him. Go get him. I don't even know if I like Monty Williams that much as a head coach. But at this point, given how inexperienced all these guys who have come through are, if you believe that Monty Williams is the guy and you have to pay and you have to give him authority to make sure he's the head coach of the Suns, then
talk to a
do
player,
it.
Talk to a player on another team who told me that like he would be amazing for the Suns. He is just the biggest no-nonsense guy out there, man. He has to put Booker in his place. He'll put Booker in his place. Like, you know, this isn't like he's your best friend and you're gonna like him. He's gonna coach your ass up, and he's gonna coach, and you'll respect him. You will respect him because he is going to work his ass off for you. But he doesn't. This isn't no like, you know, everybody's got run of the mill here. If he's in charge, he's in charge.
They were supposed to be one of the top teams interested in a Josh Rosen trade, but now according to reports, this one team has their sights set on the top five of the NFL draft. Who might be moving on up to the deluxe apartment in the sky? We'll tell you next.
Alexa, play Moving On Up from the Jeffersons.
We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show. God, you cannot sing.
Oh, great singer.
Who's moving on up to the deluxe apartment in the sky?
Not Rick Johnson. He just sent me a tweet saying, I am listening to you on A, and it just changed to Moving On Up.
A is A-L-E-X-A. We can't say it.
Can't say it because she's listening.
What we've learned
she's
today
always listening.
Is that when you say, when we're doing our show and yes, we say A-L-E-X-A, it's going to change your A-L-E-X-A to whatever we say to change it to. It's crazy.
I know.
That we can, like, we can say A-L-E-X-A, listen to Arizona Sports, and it will turn it off because it's just listening for its crazy. So,
Alexa, play Bonnie Tyler's.
Don't do it.
No.
You need to stop. Mike Garofolo, who's moving up? Washington is trying to move on up.
The Redskins have explored the possibility of trading up all the way into the top five. I don't think that. I know that. I can report that. They have had conversations with all those teams. But look, everybody's having conversations with everybody right now just to figure out what the price would be, what if. But the fact that they're at least exploring it tells me that they've thought about the possibility.
Washington is trying to get into the top five. Presumably, maybe, to take Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Possibly. Again, your top five. Cardinals, 1. Niners, 2. Jets, 3. The Raiders, 4. And what is it? Who's 5? The Bucks?
I'm just trying to check on this Washington right now.
The Bucks, 5. I should have this memorized by now. I can't believe I don't have this memorized by now. But it's, yes, Tampa Bay's 5. Okay. Whew. Good.
So Washington trying to move up. For who?
For Haskins?
To get ahead of the Giants?
Perhaps. To make sure they get their guy? Now, Garofolo is also reporting that Washington is kind of split on Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins is a guy that has a lot of support in this building. I can tell you that much. We know about the connections with owner Dan Snyder and his son. Those two went to school together. He's a local kid. He's got a lot of the tools. He had great production last year at Ohio State. But is he a player that can help this team right away? I know there are folks inside this building right over here that think that is not the case, that he might need some time to learn the offensive system, to learn life at the NFL level. He only has that 1 year of production. And maybe they think we should go with a guy that can help us right away and we can build around Case Keenum.
So when Grant Paulson, who's a talk show host in the D.C. area, tweeted out earlier, Just talked to a Redskins source who told me Dan Snyder has, quote, taken over the first round of the draft, close quote.
Send everybody home. Scouts, GM, everybody. It's just him in the room.
Mike Mayock and John Gruden all over again, right? That sounds to me like a guy who, as the owner of the team, has said, I want Dwayne Haskins on this roster. Make it happen. Get me into the top five so we can get Dwayne Haskins. You just heard Garofalo talk about the relationship that his son, same school as Haskins, all that stuff.
Do you believe that Haskins, now that you showed me this tweet deck thing, moving the sticks final mock draft, Kyler Murray 1, Dwayne Haskins 15, Drew Lock 30 to Green Bay.
Is that what he's got?
There's a belief that Dwayne Haskins could fall to 15. Some people believe that.
Yeah.
You know, is there a belief that he could fall to 15, or is it just too risky to even take the chance that he could if that's the guy you want?
You're Washington, are you going to take that chance? Do you love him so much?
Not with Alex Smith, maybe his career being over, and I'm going into the season with Case-Dam Keenum, and I need a quarterback. I mean,
is that his name?
Case-Dam Keenum.
Didn't realize that was his middle name.
I didn't realize that was his middle name.
Call him Ian Kennedy, just like, you know, one good year. Make a lot of money off of one good year.
I didn't realize Case Keenum became Case-Dam Keenum, yeah. Just like that. I had no idea that happened. I think you got to move up.
15 is just a long time to wait and hope your guy falls to you. Yeah. You get impatient. As you wait and you wait and you wait, and you're so worried about somebody else jumping ahead of you. These teams behind you that need quarterbacks could jump ahead of you. Because, hey, okay, it's not worth the price to get into the top five, but if I can get them at 10, 11, 12, I might jump ahead of the Redskins.
Yeah. To me, and maybe this is because this validates something I've thought about this draft for a while. To me, this just screams the New York Jets. Just screams the New York Jets at number 3. If you're trying to get into the top five and you're looking for a team that's got the eject button, that wants to get out of the top five and get extra picks, I think that's the New York Jets, man. You know, I've thought that for a while now.
Well, you're right.
I've heard they're trying to get out, right?
I've got great confirmation that they're trying to get out from, you know, people inside the industry that they're definitely trying to get out of that pick. So that makes all the sense to me in the world. The Jets to get out at 3. Haskins at 3. Wow. Can you imagine Murray goes 1 and then Haskins goes 3? And then so like 2 of the top 3 picks are quarterbacks? In a draft in which the quarterbacks aren't supposed to be that good?
Yeah, I could imagine that. Time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight, the games that we are going to watch this evening. D-backs baseball, they're up 5-2 over the Pirates. Right now that game is in the bottom of the 6th. And then we've got NBA action tonight as well. Utah trying to stave off elimination against the Houston Rockets. Houston's up 28-27. They're up 3-1. And then later tonight, the Warriors presumably look to eliminate the LA Clippers. They're up 3-1. In that series as well. Those are the games we're watching tonight. Brought to you by Coors Light, cold lagered, cold filtered, Blue Mountain.
Got anything else to say to Alexa?
Okay, a guy just tweeted me, another listener, David. When you say Alexa, it shuts off and starts listening, so it won't hear anything after Alexa. So the minute you say it, it
oh,
just turns it off. Apparently, wow. Sorry, we didn't realize we controlled your radios like that. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The Big Red Rage Special Draft Edition is next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports
Station. Alexa, play Goodbye to You. Have a good night, everyone.